Welcome back, everyone. Talking Shop with Zyber. Leo, how are you doing today, bro?
Got a bit of an embarrassing story, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's something that you start a podcast with.
Why not?
How much time have we got?
30-45 minutes.
Okay, so today I was meant to do a CrossFit. I'm starting up this challenge where we got to go hard for 75 days.
Yeah.
That hasn't started yet. That starts next week. And first, on Wednesday, I slept in and I got like grilled.
Fine.
I got grilled by the people and because a couple of people that from another club were doing it together.
Okay.
So we got a little chat group going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, 5:30 up, had my pre-workout. I'm ready to go. Like, this is it. I'm going to show them that I can do everything in this CrossFit. And over the years, I've slowly become lactose intolerant. Okay. And I must have done something yesterday that should have not gone through my body. And so, you know where the story is going,
maybe
right?
I should have not allowed you to tell the story.
So I'm sitting there and I'm watching the clock and I'm like, I need to do this and get there ASAP. And I just could not. And they're texting me. And like, all I could say is like, yeah, I'm in the toilet. And they're like, this is not an excuse. Like, you get down here. I was like, I really don't want to go. So I missed out. I missed out today. And I know I'm going to be punished like 1,000 burpees when, next time I see them.
Yeah. So this thing that you signed up for, they sound like they're pretty intense.
Well, it's a group thing, and it's 75 days of you do 2 45-minute workouts in the day.
Yeah,
you drink 3 liters of water. You read 10 pages of a book.
Oh,
no alcohol.
Wow.
And I can't remember the other rules, but I'm sure they're there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
how did you stumble on this online?
I have no idea. I think so. And then one of the guys turned around and was like, I've done one this year already. I'll do it again. Like, you're so fired up.
Jeez.
And so I'm like, what have I got myself into? But anyway.
Well, I don't have any exciting stories like that.
That was mine.
For me, it's Friday afternoon. So I'm again joined by one of our great customers, Good George, who always supply us with great produce in the office, especially for Fridays afternoons. I don't know. You didn't grab one.
Okay.
Anyway, but there's a point to the story. There's a point to today's podcast.
I was going to say, is there a point to my story? No, there wasn't. Thank you for listening to that. But we do have a great episode.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, we have got Shopify on the podcast today.
Woo!
Now, we've had many different people from Shopify on here. I'm specifically sort of excited about today because the person who we have on, we actually knew Elias a while before.
Sure.
He was actually at Shopify when
right.
he was still at Reload. And so it's good to see a familiar face on the podcast. And again, without further ado, I will introduce Elias Savakis, who's agency partnerships at Shopify. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Mm-hmm. I was thinking how we were going to, I guess, work on that segue from Leo's story back into
you
the topic of today, but
yeah, absolutely
I'm glad
can't.
We got there.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know how we did it. But let's quickly talk about the theme and then we'll ask Elias all the questions of who he is. But,
yeah, for sure.
Why are we listening to this episode today?
Today is all about UX.
Yeah.
Okay. So how we can actually bridge that user experience that we've been banging on for years that you get online and in store. So bridging the gap, bringing those two together.
I want to talk a little bit about POS as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of changes to that platform and you're the right man to talk about that, ALI. So looking forward to that.
Apparently so. Yeah, no, it's an awesome topic. I think it's quite a buzz at the moment across both the Australian and New Zealand markets, but also globally. It's a big focus for us here at Shopify as well. So yeah, very keen to unpack that with you guys today.
Beautiful, man. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know we know you, but tell us a bit about yourself and this journey that you've been on.
Why should I listen to this episode because of you? Why?
Yeah, good. Probably a good question. But like you said, we've known each other for ages and long before I joined Shopify.
Yeah.
What I might do is like take you right back to the start.
Do it.
Woo.
I love a good story.
Give you a little bit of a recap on my journey, probably more in the retail and e-commerce space. And then,
please.
Firstly, and then get into like, I guess, how we came to know each other and where I'm at today. So
let's go.
Rewinding back many, many years, many, many decades now, I think I started in the space like most Aussie kids do, you know, starting your first job at Woolies, packing shelves and learning about inventory in a couple of different ways there. I was in the fruit and veg section, so I could cut fruit pretty well, but that was my first kind of start into it. But after that, I moved into Apple and working in the Apple retail stores. Spent about 5 years there, learning kind of the ins and outs of how Apple decided to approach retail, and that was really eye-opening, right? I think everyone looks at Apple and goes, oh, that's, you know, the pinnacle of user experience when it comes 100%. To the retail experience.
Yeah, so this was an actual Apple store, or not just like an Apple reseller?
Yeah, yeah, it was an Apple store in Brisbane down the road from my house. So I was I was a technician back then. I can't fix anyone's phones now, so don't ask me for the technical advice. No. But yeah, I spent 5 years there and learned a lot about, I guess, how Apple meets their customers, both in store and online, and how they kind of, I guess, use technology to, I guess, help facilitate that customer journey and create really good experiences. There's actually a fun fact that Apple, I'm pretty sure they still do it. Yeah. They used to build like these little mock retail stores in Cupertino back in their head office. Okay. And it was a completely fully furnished store with no one in it. And the reason why they did that is they wanted to basically map physically what that retail journey looked like.
Oh, yeah.
Everything from walking in the store, like getting greeted, to going up and playing with, you know, the new devices on the tables, or going up to the Genius Bar. They had mapped it from, you know, from that full experience end to end. And I think that's pretty interesting, right? Like if some of the biggest brands, some of the biggest retailer brands are doing that, that means that there's some value to kind of understanding what that journey looks like. And I think it's probably something other retailers can take away as well, right? They're not going to have the same money as Apple to build a mock store, but if they can somehow start to maybe map that customer journey in retail, then I think it goes a long way to creating a good customer experience.
Oh, that's an awesome story. It's funny you mention that, because we don't actually have an Apple store in New Zealand yet. Like, I don't know if we're ever going to get one, but I was privileged enough to, in 2014, go to the Apple store in London, close to Covent Garden.
Look at you.
And it was amazing. Because what I found is they hand all the control over to you walking into the store, and with all the live devices there, and, you know, just the whole setting. I think they even do something with smell, don't they?
Yeah, there's something around like the air that they pump into the store.
It's that casino, air that keeps you awake, and you're like, I'm staying here.
It's all the senses.
It's visual, it's smell, it's your feeling that you get in that when you walk in that place. It's a real experience. And if you've never actually had that luxury, you know, hopefully one day we'll have one here in New Zealand, and you can do that.
We're talking some serious money here with this brand. And I think I actually read, and I don't know if this is the thing, but they would have cameras that would record the interactions that people were having with, you know, those screens and like, you know, on the computers, just to see what people were not interested in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, Elias, if that was true or not, but yeah, I just remember reading something like that back in the day, but interesting story.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll blow your mind. Like, I think what has happened in that space and what type of technology has been utilized in the past. I think I remember when, and this is kind of going on to, you know, after I was at Apple, was when I was agency side for many, many years, is seeing what betas like Google was rolling out. And they used to roll out these betas around in-store beacons. And it used to like measure the proximity of customers that are coming into the store, walking around the store and then leaving. And you could almost sync that up with what ad campaigns you were running on the platform as well. So they're starting to close that gap a little bit more. So it's incredible, all the types of different technology that's out there for retailers that they're, you know, the big players are exploring.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about that hardware being installed in some of the stores that we're dealing with. So it's, and it, like you said, it's perfect. You know, if you are going to do top of line marketing, like something like a TV ad, and they don't know really how to track it, then that's a good device to say, well, actually it brought a whole lot of foot traffic the next day, or, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the strategies and the sort of things that people do on e-commerce, like e-commerce didn't really drive that. People were trialing these things in physical environments, and then they used that methodology and translated it into, okay, how can we do this online? You know, testing, customization, like Elias just mentioned, like the overall feel when you come into the place, like you just feel special, like the brand makes you feel like that. And it's how they get you to spend as much money as they do, because, I mean, let's face it, their products recently there are other brands that are trying to compete with them, but for a long time, Apple was far more expensive than anyone, yet they still sold far more products than everyone. And it's because they took care of that whole end-to-end journey for everyone.
It's the only time I've seen people, well, except for sneakers.
Yeah.
Then people would line up for days for that phone. I'm like, this is what I'll say. Yeah. Now, I've converted. I don't know if you care, but I have now gone Apple phone. But yeah, it's the only time.
You sold a lot.
Yeah, once, I would say once you go Mac,
see the light.
Once you go Mac, you never go back.
In saying that though, like around like the whole hype experience of stores, you know, launching and drops happening in store, we are seeing a bit more of that happen, especially with some of the Shopify retailers we have on the platform. You know, think of the likes of LSKD, you know, Oz Hair and Beauty. Like these guys are opening. They're going the other way, right? They started online and now they're going out and creating these physical experiences. And when they are launching, there's lines out the wazoo. Like they're going for hundreds of meters. And it's really cool to see that hype starting to, I guess, come back and not to the biggest brands in the world, but the ones that are, you know, creating the right customer experiences.
That's right. Culture Kings really does that really well. We were talking to the guys at Klaviyo the other day and they were talking about down wherever they are, there's a Culture King store there and there's people like round the block that were just waiting to come into that store. You're always against the whole experience because you just reckon the music's too loud, eh?
I'm just an old man. Hey, but like, I know we're meant to be talking about you, but we've jumped somewhere else now and we're talking about bringing people back into the store and then doing like a drop right there. Like, hey, you've walked in and so you can get like a discount, a gift or something. Could you speak a little bit more on that, on how merchants are utilizing that technology or what they could or what apps they could that go with Shopify to do that?
Sorry, yeah, for sure. No, all good. Like I think it's one of those really big things because if you can nail it and if you can get it right, the value that you create beyond just the in-store transaction is really special, right? Because I think what a big part of what retailers are trying to kind of get on top of is how do they get create value beyond just that in-store sale? How do they create a stickier retention strategy? How do they create loyalty from a customer who has come in store and experienced that? So I think, you know, with Shopify point of sale, we integrate with a lot of the major third-party app providers on the platform as well. So, you know, we've got the likes of a Yotpo on point of sale that integrates. So you can keep on top of things like loyalty, wishlist. There's a lot of wishlist apps coming out that integrate with point of sale. If they can't buy it in store on that day, what are they doing? Or what are you doing rather as a retailer to capture that intent and then to translate it into more online experiences? So there's pretty, I guess, crafty ways that retailers are coming up with, I guess, strategies to capture that in-store intent and then translate it online, which is pretty cool to see. Outside of that, I know that there's other retail platforms out there that will almost do like push notifications if you're if you're in the area, a retailer who you subscribe to, maybe they have their own app and they know that you're a loyal customer. If they see that you're in proximity of a store, they will ping you. They will go hard to get your attention and know that you're in the shopping center. You may as well pop by for a visit, right? And that's really cool because then you start to see these ways that you're almost like cultivating that community, but you're doing it in like real time. Like you're saying, hey, we already know that you're a fan of us. Come by and say hello, pop into the store, see what's new. So it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I'm loving that you said that because I know that we've used Tapcart with that geofencing, exactly what you're saying, to do something like that. I think there was a while we were like, hey, you just get everyone to meet, you know, at this park. And then if they're in that vicinity, that sales price drop. And then we were starting to change our mind, like, wait, hold on, you got a store. Just have people, as soon as they walk into your store, that happens. And they're like, that's a great idea. And then the stores would just get flooded within that peak time if you did your marketing right.
Yeah.
If you're here within these hours, sale. So
yeah. So you got to build that brand, right? So there's so many layers to this onion, but when you peel them all right back at the end of the day, it's all building that brand. And I think that's what sometimes is overlooked with a lot of people, where they think that they may actually have a really, really good product, But and then they try to sell that to people. It's like you need to create an experience that makes that brand live in that customer's memory, so that next time when they're at this mall or in this street or whatever, they want to come back mm-hmm. to your store mm-hmm. to see what's new, mm-hmm. to feel totally. That feeling that they felt the last time that they were there. So, I mean, pulling yep. this right back again, Shopify POS, Shopify Plus and POS. Shopify POS, tell us a little bit more. I know, especially in our region lately, a lot of improvements have happened.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess to put it simply, merchants who are, I guess, using separate systems to sell online versus in-store, they're straight up missing out on things like increased revenue and create pretty poor, I guess, customer experiences, if I'm being honest. Think about it. You've got two different systems trying to do the same thing. And that's where, I guess, you know, brands are really starting to miss out. What Shopify Point of Sale helps to do is connect those two up, connect the physical and connect the online together. If those systems remain separate, there's a whole bunch of challenges that happen for brands. You know, mm-hmm. things like managing inventory is a huge one. That becomes a really expensive exercise if the two aren't talking together. Things like building customer relationships, like we've talked about just then, omni-channel marketing, you know, product syncing, all of these things become really, really hard to do if those two systems aren't talking together. So what we aim to do with Shopify POS is, you know, replace that old clunky POS system that you've got sitting in the store that's gathering cobwebs or really, you know, looks like it's from probably the 90s.
DOS system going on.
Yeah. And replacing that, right? Like creating something that, you know, empowers more merchants and more retailers to be able to create that omni-channel effect, have a single view of their customers, whether it's online or in-store. That's what we're really aiming to do with Shopify POS, and it integrates directly with your online store. So that's kind of just the overview of it, but I can rattle on for days, as you two would probably know, about features and benefits, but that's a bit of an overview.
Now, awesome. I think the production of Shopify POS videos that I've seen over the years has been some of the most highest quality produced videos that I've seen as well. And, you know, it's always so slick. You've just got a simple iPad on the table, that whole minimalist feel. And I believe now in our region, you've even got the tap, the FPOS tap and go, what do you want to call it? What's that? Contactless payment, the single FPOS unit that we can use as well. So that's a real benefit for those listeners who maybe, you know, looked at Shopify POS a while ago and that was a bit of a blocker for you. If you weren't aware, that has changed. Maybe you could share a bit more on that piece as well.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys are curious, head to, if you just type in to Google Shopify POS hardware, we actually have a ANZ hardware store that you can go there and check out all the hardware that's available to retailers in this region right now. But exactly right, Waldo, like there's a bunch of new equipment that we've shipped very recently to help retailers, I guess, create a more streamlined retail experience. So going back to that, like that Apple effect is like, if you've got an in-store assistant, you don't want to create those barriers of like pulling a customer away from product and pulling them to a, you know, a standalone kind of counter to transact. Mm-hmm. There's much better experiences out there. Wouldn't you rather have a customer looking at like a, you know, maybe a beautiful dress that's hanging on the wall instead of pulling them away from that to then do the transaction? I don't think that's a great experience. So things like Point of Sale Go is now coming to our market, which is that all-in-one, you know, you can hold in the palm of your hand experience and Point of Sale unit for assistance to kind of meet your customers where they are in the store. So think about that, you know, if you've ever gone into the Apple store, it's like that kind of handheld device that you can buy straight from. So it's very, very cool. One of my favorite things is getting out into, I guess, shopping centers and the high streets and popping into the merchants who are using Shopify Point of Sale and just seeing how like slick it is. And it almost just blends into that retail environment that they've created. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wish I used to have that. I might be a little bit older than you, but I used to work for Vodafone, and here in New Zealand, there was a brand new supermarket, oh, sorry, a mall that was opened, Sylvia Park, and we were the first stores to have live working devices. This is pre the iPhone, just quietly. We were selling like Nokia N95s and that type of thing. Anyway, long story short, having to then pull that customer away from all these live awesome devices and then pull them back to the counter and do this like transaction on this keyboard. And I think we still had to manually enter the total purchase amount into the EFTPOS machine as well. And then sometimes you'd make a mistake. Like I remember once missing out on a zero, which changed the transaction from like, I think it was $11.95 to $109.50, which is a big difference. You know what I mean? So that's awesome. And now that stuff is available in our region, it's super awesome. Just touching on the stuff that you were talking about earlier as well, one thing that we quite often hear from potential merchants looking to cross over when they do have a disconnect in systems is really that sort of online and in-store gift cards can be a real sticky point. Definitely from a merchant perspective, they want to be able to offer that, right? So if you buy online, you're getting loyalty points. When you're in-store, you're getting loyalty points. You can buy a gift card for someone online, but if they want to come to your in-store experience, then they can use that there. And I believe this covers that off as well for them.
Yeah, 100%. So there's that native functionality around the gift carding piece. Yep. The other piece to it that's really exciting for point of sale is if you're a third party app provider, you can build apps into Shopify point of sale. And the really cool thing is with that smart grid that sits on the point of sale screen is that if you prefer to have an app like, let's say it's a Yotpo or let's say it's a Smile.io or whoever it is, you can actually have that sitting within the device. It's super user-friendly. So your staff that are in store can just really easy get it up and start to fill out that customer profile.
Yeah.
Same goes for gift carding as well, right? Like you can have that online and in-store experience with the gift card. And I guess that is one of the pieces around creating a better customer experience, right, is it's omni-channel. Like you've got that same value that you can use across multiple channels as a customer, which is, I guess, at the end of the day, like that's a huge win. If customers can shop with you how they want to and how they, spend how they want to, that's ideal. And things like buy online, pick up in store, these are things that are expectations almost now these days. It never used to be a thing, but I think over the last couple of years it's really sped up, and you don't have to be a massive retailer with a whole bunch of fulfillment centers to be able to achieve that anymore. You can do it with your online store and a couple of retail stores, which is pretty cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, nothing better than going up to the counter and someone knows your profile or has your profile, knows exactly how many points I have, and all of that confusion is gone. It's a straight sale. I get excited when I see a retailer with a Shopify POS system. I start talking to them about it. I don't say who I am or that I know it. I'm like, tell me more about this thing. Hey, I just want to jump back because I think we just sort of mentioned it but didn't really press on the POS Go. I actually didn't know about it until you said it, and I've just jumped on the site because, we're so used to, for those that do use it, with the Wise Pad 3. Just really quickly, the difference between the two. Wise Pad 3 is you just kind of tap it, or you can insert the credit card and that's it.
Standalone EFTPOS machine,
But the POS Go looks more like a cell phone, actually has the interface off the POS, so the person right there can, start doing all the things you're talking about, that interface where they can, how many points have you got in the middle of the store? Hey, Leo, you got 59 points. You can have that if you want. I'm like,
Yeah, exactly. So like that POS Go piece is almost like a lot of those standalone hardware pieces combined into one. There's a barcode scanner. It's got, it literally looks like an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
You've got the UI on that screen. You've got things like card readers and all that sort of jazz.
Everything.
It's super powerful, right? Like, and then even if you didn't, I guess, want to go down that path, there's still really clean and I guess minimalistic style hardware that is still there to support point of sale. So whether it's integrated car reader, Wise Pad 3, an iPad is usually what we are facilitating that point of sale on. Mm-hmm. So you can do all of that with the traditional hardware that we already sell on the online store. But yeah, POS Go will be coming to our markets very, very soon. I'm not sure if we have a solid date, but it is coming.
Coming. Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, very soon is 3 months, but very, very soon. kidding.
But you just think about, you know, people might just be thinking, oh, I sell clothing. This is anybody, like anybody at just a normal, just
market.
Markets. That's exactly where I was trying to go.
Oh, I told you about my mum's store.
Food trucks, you know.
I told my mom, they would have loved that.
They would.
They would have absolutely loved that. So as little backstory, my mom had like a home and living store, and I set them up with Shopify website, obviously, set them up with Shopify POS, and they had the iPad in there, but they didn't have the integration with FPOS, whereas I think this would have been amazing for them.
We were talking to a lot of vineyards that get stuck with people trying the wine 3 quarters out in the field, enjoying the view, and they're trying to bring them back into the cellar to then make the purchase on the old school till. Mm. This would be someone just walking up to you. Absolutely. How did you find that wine? Did you like it? Well, here you go. Or they just, what's your details? Bang, you've got it. I'll ship these out to you. Or we'll put them in the boot of your car, whatever, however you got them.
So yeah, good.
It's, I love it.
But that's all interesting. But we kind of just went on a little bit of a tangent there, Elias. So you were still introducing us, and then, you know, you were working at Apple, but you don't work there anymore. So tell us more about where you are now.
Only 30 minutes into this podcast do we finally this one question.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get there.
Don't get me started talking about point of sale hardware, because I'll riff on for ages.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. So I guess it's important to tell folks where I am now. I am an agency partner manager with Shopify. So I've been with Shopify a number of years now, and I get the privilege of, I guess, working with our top performing agency partners like yourselves to, I guess, help merchants get on the platform and then start growing on the platform as well. So very, very lucky to be working with a whole bunch of smart partners that are working with, I guess, merchants who are really smart and growing really, really quickly, right? So I get the benefit of seeing what new strategies are out there in the market, what new trends the best retailers are looking at. I'm very lucky. I've got a very, very fun job.
And you've also got that digital marketing experience from the previous role as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I was agency side for about 5 years. So I came from digital marketing background. And I guess through that experience, I was building a lot of omni-channel strategies for some of the biggest retailers in Australia and New Zealand as well. So yeah, a bit of a digital marketing flavor to where I am at now.
Okay, so that means, Waldo, we're going to ask really good questions and get the most out of...
Well, if we combine the first 30 minutes with now, then let's talk about the other major benefit, which I see as one of the critical components that's missing with a lot of large retailers, because I feel like there's a lot of large retailers out there that are scared of making the leap because they have a lot of stores. There's a lot of legacy software that's sitting in front of their staff. It's staff training. It's equipment that needs to be replaced. So I do get that there's a bit of a...
Are you saying making the leap to Shopify or making the leap to using Shopify?
No, they'll use Shopify, but they'll use legacy POS,
right,
inventory management and all of that. And that bridge is definitely being... that gap is definitely being bridged. But I think one of the core components and really filling that omni-channel experience is to be able to, people who have never bought from you online, to be able to speak to them from a marketing point of view, the way you do to people who do buy from you online. Now, we know Shopify, great e-commerce platform, Klaviyo, best marketing automation platform. If you've got people coming in store, then you can still get your sales staff to capture those details so that you can then, you know, put them into that marketing funnel and communicate with them just like you have with people who have bought from you for 5 years, right?
100%. Yeah, I'm probably a bit biased on this point because I come from that digital marketing background, but it's so true, right? Like, think about the cost, like the skyrocketing cost of cost per acquisition across different digital marketing channels. Like, retailers need to find new ways to tap into audiences. And if you already have a brick and mortar store or even a pop-up store, like, you are exposed to a whole group of new customers that you should then be capturing and then leveraging with your online activities, right? It's not enough these days to just, I guess, create that transaction in store like I touched on earlier. You need to nurture them and almost like look at what is, when is the second or third or fourth purchase from this in-store customer? And obviously through platforms like Klaviyo, through your digital marketing channels, you can upload all of that in-store data directly to those platforms because it's all integrated. So I'm a little bit biased, but I think it's an unreal area for retailers to explore. And it's untapped at the moment, I'd say, as well. It's quite of a nuanced space where it's, I guess, retailers are learning that they can get a bit more crafty with how they capture data in-store and use it online. So very, very excited to see that space grow.
So to ask you a little bit more of a technical question, aside from this whole single view of a customer, like what other data opportunities are available to merchants when they use Shopify POS?
Yeah, so like we've touched on the obvious one, which is leveraging that in-store data for digital marketing.
Yep.
I think the one other piece to that is like looking at all of those amazing integrations that we offer through our third-party app partners, things like loyalty, wish list, all of those pieces, and building kind of retention strategies around that. That is another, I guess, piece of data that merchants can be leveraging. The other piece to that is understanding when you have greater like connectivity between your inventory that's online versus in store, you can start to prioritize your merchandising, right?
Yeah.
Because you can start to say, okay, what's doing really well online? What's doing really well in store? And how do we, you know, experiment with our different kind of lines of inventory to create a better experience? So those are the first few that come to mind. Oh, the other one would be like, the buy online, pick up in store, and having the visibility over where your inventory sits at any which one time. If you've got multiple inventory locations, one of the biggest pieces is having visibility over that, right? So whatever kind of PIM you're using, you can integrate it with Shopify, right? And we can have that transparency over this is how much of a unit we have in store versus online, which gets rid of a lot of headaches a lot of the time, or at least that's what I'm hearing.
Talking about, you see a lot of trends, especially now people going back into stores. What you just mentioned about reporting there was really, really interesting. So you're saying that a lot of merchants export out or are just looking at the dashboard of Shopify, sales online versus sales in the store, and then also sales that are picked up to try and get a bit of an understanding of what's moving faster or what they should promote more in store, what they should promote more online?
Yeah, 100%. I think I heard an example the other day that was really interesting, because if you've ever worked in like a retail space, you know those like end of day summaries that you kind of like, you kind of pull how the store did and you pull it all into one place. You can do that with Shopify point of sale, right? And I think what the retail team for this one retailer was looking at was, let's start to pull a summary of how that store is doing on any which day and start to like close the gap with what are we pushing out across our socials, it then, I guess, helps them, not even just their own socials, but what competitors and the market is doing and seeing what's selling well. So they can really get on top of any trends that are, you know, product selling really well in store, so then they can translate it into their online store. So there's insights that go both ways. You can you can take stuff from in store, do it online, or vice versa.
And you can also see, you know, which of your salespeople on the floor are doing what type of numbers. I know that'll really interest you, won't it?
I do like sales. But it makes sense, because then you know that, you know, old Harry over there is getting them all, and what's he doing different on the floor? So let's check out how he's doing it and teach the rest of the team to follow that process. Yeah, I do enjoy that.
Yeah, so there's two versions of Shopify POS, just to make sure that people are aware. There's obviously the out-of-the-box POS, comes with every Shopify account. It's free. If you didn't know it existed, go look at your sales channels, click the plus button, and you'll see POS Lite there. And then there's obviously POS Pro. The POS Pro comes with all these benefits. If you're a Shopify Plus member, you get POS Pro given to you for free as part of your package. And that is really a key piece that, especially over the last four-ish years when I've been back in the e-com space now, seeing Shopify make huge improvements. the inventory management, and then what they're offering for this whole omni-channel sales experience, because that's exactly the way Harley usually frames it as well. You know, it's not e-commerce and retail, it's commerce. That's what it is.
Actually, that's a good point to ask. Is there still a perception where people think the Shopify POS is only for like a one store only, where really it can be for multiple locations, multiple stores? Does that come up? Is that something we should probably, you know, talk a little bit about to make merchants understand that it's pretty powerful?
Yeah. It's a really good point. I think that was kind of the sentiment a little while back. It is changing quite rapidly. The more of these larger kind of retailers we're bringing onto the platform, I guess the more that sentiment is changing. I think I read a stat the other day that the number of sales that is going through Shopify point of sale is up 60%, quarter on quarter. So it's like a massively growing area of Shopify. Yeah. And from a product development standpoint, that is probably one of the quickest moving products we have in our suite is Shopify point of sale, just in terms of what updates and new features are coming to that. So it's a really, really exciting product. And, you know, at one point in time, we probably were a better fit for those smaller merchants with less locations. I think now there's, you know, we're up to the, you know, hundreds and even thousands of locations. So lots of different size retailers we can support now with that. And the great thing is, like, if you have that complexity as a retailer, if you're one of those bigger guys, you can get that support in helping get set up with Shopify point of sale. So you'll get support from our team, but also our partners.
Yep.
You know, we've got expert partners in the space that help roll out and implement this type of technology. Maybe throwing a question back to you guys, like how have you seen it, like in terms of with the types of brands that you work with that might be using Shopify point of sale? Like, what's that experience been as an agency to work with and get your hands on it?
For me, I was going to say, yeah, for me, because I've recently done this, we used to be like, okay, you're on a certain POS, and we sort of had to figure it out if Shopify POS would be the right path for them. Now, I think you guys have invested a lot of time and money and you've got the resources in place. I can actually hand that over to your strategists and say, right, they're on, they're going to hate me saying stuff like this, they're on Vend. We want to come over to Shopify POS, okay? And then, you know, we say to the clients, make sure you put a big list of all the features you're currently using and that are, there must be a must have over on Shopify POS. And then your guys are stepping in and just ticking off like, yep, I can do that. Yep, I can do that. Let me show you how we would do it this way. Mm-hmm. And that transition of getting merchants over to Shopify POS, I've noticed in the last 12 months, has been far easier than probably the last 7 years that I've been working with you guys. And so I'm loving that of what you guys have done.
From my side, I think, you know, for the smaller retailers, like 10 or less stores, individual stock holdings, they don't really have a warehouse distribution, that type of thing. It's an absolute no-brainer. And they are now not even inquiring about that because you guys do such a good job with the advertisements and like the explainer videos. And I mean, if you just log into your Shopify dashboard and add the sales channel, it's so self-explanatory, it's so easy to set up. I had actually someone who for the first time the other day opened, and shout out to you, Biddy, because I know you listen to this. She opened up her first retail store, it's a big label called Tuesday Label, very boutique-y.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me a call and she was like, oh my God, I didn't think about POS. And I just said to her, you don't need any help. Just trust me on this. Go sit there, spend an hour trying it yourself. And she figured it all out by herself. And she was able to add the Shopify POS Pro channel. She added her sales staff, which she's going to have 5 of them there to be able to give them all their own logins to it. And she can track them. And she did it all herself.
Good for you, Biddy. I know you don't sound like that, but good
for
you.
For the larger retailers, which I spend like 90% of my time's worth, in the past, the big blockers were the whole integration piece. And I feel like that has been overcome with, you know, Shopify's APIs being some of the best in the world. So we can now integrate with the Bright Pearls, the SAPs, the NetSuites, much easier than we could 5 years ago, which makes that point of sale conversation a lot easier. There are still some large retailers. And I think for me, the biggest blocker that some of them have is just money, right? This year, they can afford to finally redo the website and then replatform that to Shopify, which they in their teams love, because a lot of them may come from a previous role where they had Shopify and now they've got platform X, which they hate, and they just want those tools back, right? Because they still have targets and KPIs and all these types of things that they need to hit. But then maybe next year, because budget's budget, right? Then we'll look at start doing, okay, let's pull out all this old equipment out of stores. Let's get staff trained up. And it's a bit of a slow progress. Like, you'd love people to just jump ship. But I think Shopify POS Pro is now in that conversation, where in the past, you know, the light speeds and those guys just had that little bit of an edge because they had the inventory management piece and the POS side sorted. And yes, it was simple enough to integrate it with your website to a certain degree. But I've always, and I've said this since 2019, I know where Shopify is heading with this. And that you're going to be that all-encompassing solution eventually. In my opinion, you know, watch out NetSuite, watch out all those guys, because when Shopify actually rolls out full-blown proper inventory management at an enterprise level, like, the rest is history, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah, well, geez, that'd be nice. But look, I mean, right now, it's going back to your point, like, for the smaller merchants, like, they can set themselves up within minutes, like, using it if they've got the hardware in their hands. And we want to make it that really intuitive experience, right? Like, it should be the same as creating an online store on Shopify. You can do that yourself in minutes. Yeah. You should be able to do the same with getting set up on point of sale. And like you said, Waldo, there's a ton of content out there to help train, you know, internal staffs and team members who are setting that up.
Exactly.
And then for the larger end of town, like, things like our ERP programs, where we're building partnerships with some of the biggest and major ERPs in our market. Yeah. Like, that is another step towards making it easier for the largest retailers to integrate with us, because most of them will have some sort of ERP in the background there. So, really cool to hear how you're using it, though. Like, that, helps me.
Do you reckon Shopify will ever go down the ERP route?
Look, it's probably not my place to say, but okay. Like, I would say that
we can.
We enjoy being like that online store, and I guess that commerce operating system is Harley's explained it before as well. Yeah. You know, playing in that in-store and online space is really our focus, and capturing on those sales channels that merchants need to go down. So that's our focus.
Yeah, focus on what you're doing well and hone in on it, right? Make it as good as possible and eliminate the competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know, sir. Is there anything else that you wanted to chat about today?
I was going
to
ask if we've missed anything that you really wanted to talk about POS. I feel like we've covered quite a bit today. I know there's lots of really big topics, but if there's anything you want to express, fire away.
Yeah. Look, I mean, in terms of just wrapping up, like, we've probably covered a lot on, the different point of sale elements. One thing would be cool is maybe what retailers can be doing off the back of today's chat to maybe help them with, like, closing that gap between their online and in-store channels, and how do they improve customer experience.
So, tell me add that value. Tell me.
I've put together some points because I knew we'd probably, like, I thought you guys would ask me, but I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Yeah. This is why we love you. You do the work for us and we just sit back here and Walter just has a beer. This is great.
It's like old times. So I've got a few points here, and they might seem a little bit obvious, but, like, I think it's worth worth bringing up again, because I don't think merchants get a lot of, and retailers get a lot of time to think about this. But think omnichannel, not in silo. That's my first tip. It's like, just because your online store is your online store and your in-store shop is your in-store shop, doesn't mean they have to operate in silos. So take time to, like, I guess, step away from the work and, like, have a look at the thing more holistically. Like, take that Apple approach of going, what is the customer journey that I'm trying to facilitate here? And how do my different channels talk to each other, whether it's your marketing channels, your online store, or whatever that may be. So take the time, step away, map that customer journey out a little bit. And then, work with your team and work with your agency partners to bring that to life a little bit, I suppose. So that would be, I guess, my first point.
Nice.
Second one would be, like, go out into the field to see what other retailers are doing, particularly retailers in your vertical, or maybe retailers that you really admire, and see what they're doing really well. Like, see what point of sale system they're using, see, like, what that in-store flow looks like, maybe even buy something and see what the follow-up online looks like. I think you'll be surprised, right? Like, there's, like I said before, there's a, such a big opportunity for retailers to be doing more of that. You'll be surprised. The ones that do it really well are the guys that are killing it. And I think it's absolutely an opportunity. Go out into the field, take some notes, see what others are doing, and then bring that back to your own store. That's what I'd say. And lastly is, like, just look at your commerce stack and look at your tech stack and decide, like, what are the tools that are going to help me get there? It's not about downloading the most apps or downloading the most tools or buying the most licenses to help you do that. It's about the ones that will do the most for you. And we've already touched on a few of those great ones today. You know, the likes of the Klaviyo, the likes of the Yotpo, you know, the likes of Shopify. Think about your tech stack and what is part of that stack is going to enable you to give a better customer experience. So probably my top points there, and I'm sure you guys can riff on for days about, I guess, looking at that further. So
yeah, we do that for a full-time job.
Exactly. You're the expert.
That's amazing. I hope you guys had your notepads out, because yeah, we talk to our clients about that all the time. We try to give that value to you guys on the podcast as well. So don't be afraid. Change is a good thing. There are always better tools out there. And if you've just been, you know, stuck with this $500 a month bill for a POS system that's not doing what you're looking for it to do, but you're familiar with
sale, not something else that Waldo's referring to there, by the way.
Then honestly, go and have a look at POS, guys. Like I said, it's free. Give it a try. And when you want to explore all the features out of it, it's very, very cost effective, in my opinion.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Couldn't have said better myself.
Awesome. Yeah, well, on that note, sir, we will let you go and enjoy sunny Queensland. You're still there, eh?
Still on the sunny coast, Queensland.
Beautiful, mate. Enjoy it. I'm so jealous. Yeah. Here it's freezing. Although I do see you've got a top on. It's probably like 23 degrees or something, eh? Really cold.
Yeah, Queensland is
kind of fair enough. All right, sir. Well, let's wrap that up and call it a day.
What is it that we do? The like, the share. No, you do it.
He just did it.
Like, nice share, guys. Leave a comment. Let us know what's going down. And thank you so much, Elias.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, lads.